Hey, welcome everybody to the Rock Life Podcast. My name is Pastor Joel. This is Pastor Paul. And we're talking about his message, a little bit about his message this weekend. Pastor Paul was on this weekend delivering a great word. But before I get started, Paul, I just want to bring this in, you know, kind of fun fact. You were not born in America. Right?
No, I was born in the Dominican Republic.
Okay, so yeah. How long have you been?
You know, I think in August of this year, I would reach half and half of my life. So I lived 25 years in the Dominican Republic and 25 years in the U.S.
Wow. Yeah. And then when you, did you get married first, then come?
No, I came actually on a commitment to who eventually became my brother-in-law, my wife's dad, to help him in his youth group. And so my father was a pastor in Las Vegas, and so they had a church. They had made some changes, and he was like, hey, can you come? I prayed about it. I was like, yeah, I think I can do a year. I was early into my dental career, so I could put a pause on it.
He didn't say, come and marry my daughter?
Yeah, he did. Well,
did he really?
He didn't say it that way. He did say, he said, the story goes that he said, if you work for me 7 years, I'll give you my daughter.
Oh,
so that was a joke.
Gosh.
And my wife hated it. So at first, we did not get along. Tracy and wow. I did not get along at all because she didn't want to kind of be part of the joke. But that's how I ended up here in the States. And then we worked together, kind of liked each other, dated, married. But I never thought to stay here. I always thought I would go back and continue my dental career. But then things kind of
God had
up
different
here.
Plans.
Yeah.
So you coming to The Rock was not one of those plans.
Not at all.
That
not
was God inviting you and you getting married and then all these
right.
things happening.
Actually, I knew about this area before I knew about The Rock because I came to Loma Linda to take my dental board test.
Wow.
And I stayed in downtown San Bernardino. I always heard the joke. I still was a Renaissance hotel next to the Carousel Mall. And that's why I remember coming down at night to go eat. There was a Denny's right on the exit. It's no longer there. And I remember telling my wife, I was like, I think this name was kind of dodgy. Let's go back.
And so, look what God did.
Yes, he made me move to the dodgy neighborhood.
Wow.
So we minister here, yeah.
That's amazing. I know most people don't introduce yourself that way. We don't have time in the pulpit.
Right.
I just thought I'd open that up to the podcast of introducing you. I thought the message that you had was incredible, but I'm going to pull one thing from that one line, and we're going to kind of talk about that.
Yeah.
Or you could talk about anything else you want to. But one of them was putting your problems in perspective. So here's a question for you. Why is it so important for people to understand that?
Man, that's a great question. So let's start with Paul just saying, hey, let me give you a different view of your issue. And that's what Paul says, to say, you know, embrace that. And as we read in the message, James has the same concept in James chapter 1, and so does Peter in 1 Peter. So all these three, you would say, mega ministers are all saying the same thing. Here's what they're saying. Your issues have a different perspective when it comes from God. And so it is very important for Christians to sort of focus on that and say, okay, what is God's perspective? And let me just put it this way, because I always say every time I teach something, God tested me. And you would know that, and many of us would. So I go home that night after preaching, you know, 4 services, including Spanish service. I'm already in my PJs by 8 p.m. I was exhausted. Then my son calls me, Dad, I have a flat tire. Those who live in Southern California, it was a super rainy weekend. So I'm like, okay, park the car. I'll figure it out. So I'll help you out. Then we get to the car. He has no replacement, no flat. It was just a disaster the whole night. I'm exhausted. I'm about to get mad. And I thought to myself, you know what? I just told people that God has a plan on your issues. So I just went ahead and embraced and said, God, what do you want to do? So I said, let's leave the car here. Talk to a neighbor. Hey, can we park your car here? Went back the next day, figure it out. The tire was bad. And what it turned out to be, just a good few hours with my son. I could have been cranky about the fact that I was exhausted. I had planned to rest that day. But I said, you know what? Let's figure it out. So we fixed the car. We took it out. We did this. We had lunch together. In other words, I could have been mad. A previous me would have been so mad. Dude, how can you don't keep track of your stuff? You should have had a repair. You should have this. Instead, I just said, let's figure out how to fix it.
Some would have the perspective, hey, Lord, I've been serving you all weekend. Why this?
Yes, that's a great question.
Right?
Yeah.
Why this? I mean, look, I'm your man. I was up there. I was giving your word. I was diligent to study, show myself approved. And all this happens. And
right.
People have that perspective. Like, if I'm doing all this good, more good should follow me
right.
in everything that I do.
Correct.
Leaving what James said, count it all joy when you have these various trials
Absolutely.
And tribulations, right?
It's amazing. You know what, Pastor Joel? I'm in Job right now. I'm reading the chronological Bible. I know you're doing it this year,
too.
Yes. And so Job had two phrases this morning when I read it. One was when he told his wife, if we take the good from the Lord, should we not take also when the bad comes?
Right.
So that's the first phrase. The second phrase told to his friend. And to his friend, he said, I'm just paraphrasing. He sort of said, like, you know, God has a purpose in all this stuff. And I'm going to submit myself. He said, Job said, I'd rather be dead than be, you know, than long suffering in this process.
Right, right, right.
But in the end, he says, I will submit myself to the will of God. And I think if more Christians will understand that when you submit to the will of God, the way it's handed to you and don't run from it, the result is always so much better.
Yes.
And so I just want to encourage everybody as we're listening together, like, I don't know what you're going through. I really don't. But if you embrace it, if you say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you, then you start seeing things turn in a different light.
That's the perspective change. I like what Henry David Thoreau said. It says, it's not a matter of what you look at that matters. It's a matter of what you see.
Wow.
Okay, so it's not just looking at for whatever it is, chaos,
right.
even good things happening.
Correct.
The theology of the world is, you know, if I do good, good's going to come back to me.
Correct.
Discounting, you know, what the Bible says, rain falls on the just and unjust.
Yep.
Meaning that there is sometimes testing, proving, and you alluded to that in your message. This is a testing ground to build our faith.
Right.
It's a testing ground to be tenacious. It's a testing ground to be committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. So some questions is why the challenge that we face in the world today, in everyday life, in everyday perspective, that this world is not easy.
Correct.
The things we deal with, they're not easy. But where does that theology of easy come from? Where does it just come from to where, like, boy, I mean, I want to go listen to be encouraged and uplifted, and we do, and I believe we do a good work here at The Rock to do that. But sometimes we love them enough to tell them the truth.
Right.
And the truth is sometimes it might not work out.
Correct.
The way you have framed your life, the way you've committed your life. Just case in point, the question I'm asking you, from the DR coming to here, boy, your lens was totally different and reframed because God had a destiny for you.
Right.
Wasn't your choice, wasn't what you were attempting to do.
Correct.
God did it, but you gave into it.
That's right.
So talk a little bit about giving into that narrative of letting God change that perspective.
Yeah, you know, I think... let me not make, because I don't want to make an accusation, but because I have those two perspectives, coming from a third world country, growing as a Christian in a third world country, and coming in the U.S., I do believe God blesses and prospers. So I do believe in that. I think where the gospel got mixed up is in the fact that we should always prosper. And that is a dangerous understanding, because then we frame prosperity under the light of everything good. So let me frame it from the Bible perspective. In the book of Acts, you find a church that is prospered by every account. They were living in peace. They had money. Everyone had food. They had some issues, you know, as you see in Acts chapter 6. And notice that, I believe, Acts chapter 8, the persecution unravels, and they go after them. And in no account of the gospel do you ever see them complaining. They just embrace whatever was happening.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that they spread the gospel as they went. So what am I saying with all this? God uses all the frames and gets the gospel prosper even though Christians were persecuted. So what I would frame it is, yes, you prosper, but the end, what we want to show is that God is actually advancing through us. And that would be my encouragement to people, like, hey, how is God using this? Is he using this to so I can encourage my family,
right,
so I can do this? And so, you know, coming from that perspective, like you say, my mother, I share in different areas, raised from a single mom, we were never wealthy in any what you would categorize as wealth today, and things were difficult. But for some reason, I never necessarily felt that God wasn't with me. I don't know how to explain that. Like,
right,
I never felt jealousy that someone had or more cars, more this, even though I wanted those things, but I was willing to work with God to get those things. But I never said God doesn't love me because I don't have those things. I'll put it to you this way, so that people can kind of get that idea, is I would see my cousins and my uncle and aunt. They weren't Christians and they had great jobs. My cousins were driving cars when they were teenagers. This is normal in the U.S. That is not normal in Latin America. Like, I think of my first car dipping to my 20s after I became a dentist. And so, and it was because a friend of mine helped me. And so, so it was a different perspective. And one time I cried to the Lord. I said, Lord, how come, you know, I'm doing all this. I'm in the mission field. I'm doing all this. And, you know, there's nothing for me. And I, Pastor Joel, it was amazing. I think within a day, a friend of mine calls me on the phone and said, hey, man, I heard you're back from the mission field. I want you to come to dinner to my house. I said, absolutely. One of my best friends. Get to his house. We have dinner. He said, by the way, my wife and I, Maria is her name, we want to give you our car. I was like, I thought this thing was crazy. And that act of kindness from him, obedience on his part, spoke to me that God can take care of your needs in however many ways, as long as you trust his process. And so, I don't know. I'm not saying God's going to give you a car, but I'm just saying this is what he did for me. So
I think the big word you're saying is trust his process.
Right.
We love to help God, right?
Yes.
I want to help him as I trust the process,
right,
even though that process might not work out the way I think.
Right.
In your case, you needed a car. And his case, I already had a plan that you didn't have.
Correct.
But you have to trust me.
Right.
And, you know, we get into problems when we are self-motivated to get it done.
Right.
Especially in, you know, pick up your bootstraps, the theology of Americanism.
Right.
You know, it's like, if you're good, if you're hardworking, if you're diligent, if you're committed, you're going to get everything you want.
Right.
The problem with that is the plan of God.
Right.
Oftentimes gets in the way of the plan of man.
Yeah.
So Philippians says it this way: don't be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, thanksgiving, present your requests to God.
Yeah.
So anxiety would lift if I present to God,
the situation,
my concern.
Yeah.
In your case, I need a car.
Right.
I'm not going to go up a rabbit trail. I'm not going to go steal one.
Right. Correct.
You know, because I need one that bad.
Right.
I'm going to take my supplication, and it's going to calm my fears and anxiety if I trust you, because then it says the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind.
Yeah.
Powerful scripture in teaching us that even through our testing and trials, God's still in control.
That's right.
Right?
That's
even
right.
Though through our expectation or limitations, there to speak, let's not get in the way of what God overall. I always challenge people, look, when you're frustrated with something and you don't know something, have you prayed about it? Have you brought your petition to God?
Yeah.
And oftentimes they tell me, no, I haven't. Well, why don't you consider that?
Right.
And not only consider it, not only do it, consider it, but get ready for him to tell you something you might not want to hear.
And I think that is really the apprehension of prayer. The apprehension of prayer is not, let me bring the petition to God. The apprehension of prayer is, God may ask me for something I am unwilling to do. And I mean, I talk to people all the time. It's like, well, if I bring it, what if he says this? What if? If we're saying you're the ultimate governor of my life, then, yeah, here, I'll trust you with whatever you're asking me. And that, I think that for me is kind of those things in the process of what God is doing. Is not a simple thing to trust God, but anytime we trust God is always better.
It is, but we have to kind of take a step back because that's where perspective comes in, right? Overall view of assessment. And sometimes we're not patient. Sometimes we're very anxious about getting something done within our timing or timeline or ability or skill. And I'm convinced that God always has a better plan, but to wait it out is the difficulty. Now, you had a beautiful story where God, you know, heard your request and shortly after. But what if the waiting and the testing is not that fast?
Yeah.
What if it's years
until
something breaks?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're a perfect example of that. I want to bring your business here, but I know your testimony, how you bought your house that you have now. I mean, it was a process of patience and you waited, and we're friends, so we know the story, but it wasn't just you show up and got it. You had certain parameters for the Lord. I mean, I don't know if you want to tell it, but I think it's a very telling, because when you and I talked, I was like, I would tell you, I was like, man, get that. And you're like, no, that there was just certain things you and Pastor Joanna had in mind, and you were praying to the Lord. And until those things came in line, then you jumped on it.
I'll do it quickly. I was attempting to buy a house in 2019, 2020. COVID hit, and then I got diagnosed with cancer. So everything went out the door.
Right.
About even going after something that I thought was for me.
Right.
I mean, God provides and, you know, he makes a way. But because we took a break, we took a 3-year break, or and the market had changed.
Mm.
Everything changed after that.
Right.
Interest rates have changed.
Right.
Very, very discouraged. And I remember in the shower, the Lord spoke this word to me. As I was contemplating my frustration,
right?
Like, man, God, if I wouldn't have got sick, I would have had everything right and fit into place.
Yep.
Because the market was where it was, the interest rate was. But man, this is frustrating. And the Lord said this, didn't I find you a donor?
Come on.
I will find you a house.
Yep.
And shortly after that, he found the right property for us, the right interest rate for us, and everything just worked. Was it easy? No. But it was worth the wait, but I had to listen to him.
Absolutely. Here's what's crazy about that, Joel. You just said, the Lord told you, didn't I find a donor? Do you know that the devil told God, Job still praises you because you took physical things away, but if you take his health, he'll curse you. See, health is far more important. And God said, I fixed your health. Why wouldn't I give you a house? Like, if you frame it, you would say, absolutely. The house is minimum in comparison to having your health again.
And that's my perspective, because there's always beautiful things happening, but because of our frustrations or our priority or our anxiety or whatever is in front, we can't see the forest through the trees.
Right.
We can't see good things coming to us, even though beautiful things are all around us.
Right.
We're just too upset. We're too angry. We're too frustrated with life situation. We can't. And now my perspective, since I have a second chance at life, boy, I'll take a walk in my neighborhood. I'm like, I think everything's beautiful.
Right.
I'm like, what happened to me? God changed my perspective. You know, I'm taking pictures of plants, squirrels, a coyote. I mean, whatever's coming my way, and I'm just not taking nothing for granted.
That's good. Yeah.
So that was what Job was, right? He was saying, I have to change my perspective. Now, we're not in Romans 8 yet, but we will be.
Correct.
Romans 8 says this, knowing that all things work together for the good of those who love God and called according to this purpose. Some translate it this way. All things work together without leaving the rest of the text.
Correct.
And the rest of the text is there on
very
purpose.
Very important, yep.
Right? Very important. For those that are called according to his purpose, not our purpose.
Yep.
Not our agenda, his agenda. So speak on that issue of kind of like forecasting for people on this podcast to help them see that there's always a bigger plan. There's always something, but you have to stay in line with his purpose.
Yeah, I mean, so just refreshing, in Romans 5, the Apostle Paul says, you're going to go through all these trials, and it says, but hope does not disappoint.
Right.
And it's when we're in the purpose of God, we have an expectation of godly things, so the purposes of God in our lives. And so Paul's saying, if you keep your hope connected to that because you know he loves you, then these things are going to come your way. These things are going to process. These things are going to happen because that is where you're at. There is an expectation in you that God is forming something. He's doing right. something. He's performing something. And that for me is so important that, you know, we have to maintain that. Now, and I'll be honest, some of you guys may know or may not, when I got to this church, I'm not from a faith background, but when I started, you know, being taught under Pastor Jim and Deborah, our founding pastors, the concept of faith in a way of hoping and believing for God to do something, it really blew my mind as a Christian. Now, mind you, I come from a charismatic background. I could speak in tongues. I could rebuke. I knew all these stuff, but I have to say I was really short on faith and hope. And it was just the combination of, I know God can do something, then I have to patiently wait for it to develop. And that is really what it builds maturity in the Christian, just waiting the purposes of God according to his purpose, just waiting for that to develop in my life. So again, this is, we're intertwining our lives and our teaching of this stuff, but wanting to do one thing. So I wanted to be a missionary, and because I believe that's what God wanted for me. But then seeing my mother wanted me to go to college, that was really difficult. That was a process in my life. But God used that process, even though I don't practice dentistry today, I haven't for 20 years. God used those teachings in those years to form me. He was developing his purpose according to his purpose in my life. And so things, he works everything for good. So here's me going to college and thinking, I'm never going to use this stuff because that's not what I want to be. And God's saying, I'm going to use it for good if you stay my purpose. And what we think is just when we were in school, like, why am I taking calculus? Right. I'm never going to use calculus in life, ever. Guess what? A lot of the things you do in life require calculus for you to think. For you to do a three-point parking, you're using geometry, you're using trig, you're That's using right. all this stuff. You just automatically do it in life, but you never expect it to be used in that way. So very important for us to learn.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the whole thing. I mean, I went to what they call a Be the Match campaign with a celebration of life event at City of Hope. So I was surrounded by 2,000 transplant patients.
Wow.
So it was a perspective. And one of the doctors got up there, and he put a different spin on it that I never heard it. I want to interject it in our podcast. Yeah. Here's his spin. Hey, see what was able to happen in your body? That just didn't happen overnight. I want to celebrate all the nurses. I want to celebrate it. Celebrate all the healthcare workers and the doctors, and they all stood and they celebrate them. He said it takes 420 people to produce one transplant.
Wow.
What a perspective. Here, wow. I thought I was in the journey alone.
Right.
And here's 420 people to develop that one transplant. Wow. 2,000 were there, and he made an announcement that the City of Hope crossed over 20,000 transplants.
It's amazing.
So how many people were involved? How right. much energy was involved? How much resource? Now, putting God's perspective, how busy is God to get his purpose done?
Correct.
Here you think it's I'm discouraged because I'm not doing this or I'm not seeing this. And God had a greater plan Absolutely. Called the church.
Absolutely.
And that's, that's the power base.
Yeah.
Because in the church is the hope of the world, right?
Yep.
And in the church, we have the capacity to succeed, not only because we have great pastors, great leaders, great teachers, but we have the body of Christ.
100%.
Discipling, mentoring, doing things on purpose to bring God's plan together.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And that perspective, I think, sometimes is neglected because we think we're on this journey alone. I'm hitting a wall. I don't know what to do. And you might not. But there's always somebody like your friends
right.
who God talked to and said became a resource to you.
Correct.
There's always someone like in me, a transplant recipient. I'm the recipient, and my donor was from Mexico, 23 years old. There was always someone that God had a plan to get my body healthy.
Right.
So in that perspective, that's why this thing is so powerful to me. Putting life in its right perspective is always warranted.
That's correct.
But we have to have the patience.
That's correct.
We have to have the faith and the tenacity to go through. Because you said it this way. It's better to say it this way. Tribulation means pressure.
Right.
And that's what's going to happen. Happen to fixing your flat.
Right.
Happen to coming across the world.
Right.
To a foreign land.
Right.
Doing things that, you know, I don't know how good your English was in the DR.
So my English is just, it's interesting. That's an interesting question. You know, precious, even though I can speak, I like you and I joke, I could spoke English.
Yeah.
Even though I could speak English. I didn't know the culture, and that's what a lot of people don't understand when you cross these barriers. So here, it took me a few years actually to get familiar with understanding what the culture of America was. Even though I could speak the language, it was a difficult process and barrier to get through. You know, getting used to it was really difficult financially. You know, I come from a middle class family in my country, so I had no need to be, you know, scrummaging around eating for the 99-cent store menu at McDonald's when it existed, you know, 20 some years ago. That was really difficult and humbling. Like, I would say to myself, like the prodigal son, when I was in a prodigal son, I was like, I can go back home and eat better than this. There was no, a lot of people come to America to be better, and I get that. I'm not knocking that on immigrants. I had no need to live in America. This is what I'm trying to express.
That's right.
I had a decent life. I come from a middle class family in my country. I had a career. So there was no need for me to be here permanently. But God had a different perspective for my life, and I needed to embrace that process. And so that is why I'm encouraging all of us. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing today. But what I am telling you is, if you ask the Lord, like we talked about, and he shows you his direction for those who are according to his purpose, then things are going to work out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to make a comment. I know it's full of self-interest. I know you. You're a friend of mine. But you, and I've known you a few years, you are not only a blessing to me, you're a blessing to the body of Christ. Mm. I'm glad God moved on your behalf to get you where you need to be, because when we look at our limitations and then look at the forecasting of that fruit, God brings that perspective, you know, and I say that as a friend, but I know other people feel the same way. I believe we need to celebrate people more.
Yeah.
And maybe that's been my perspective change in my journey with health, is celebrating people more means that, hey, I got to encourage them even though they feel discouraged.
That's good.
I got to give them faith even though they're faithless. I got to give them some hope, even though I struggle with sometimes hope. And I got to give them the word of God, even though sometimes that word of God doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And because ultimately it will make sense if we stay in the game.
Correct.
It will make sense if I don't give up. Mm-hmm. It will make sense of what you said in your message, if I don't give up on hope.
Yeah.
So how would you encourage people today that if they're giving up on hope, what would you say to them?
Man, just what the Apostle Paul says, if I could just frame it that way, which is hope does not disappoint. And the idea is that you remain hopeful because you won't be disappointed. Whatever the outcome God decides, it would be the best outcome for you because hope does not disappoint. And just that whole process, I said a phrase in the message that really was through hearing what Pastor Dan had preached and reading the five verses of Romans 5. And it was that, you know, faith empowers, or faith opens the door to what grace empowers for what hope is enduring.
Yeah.
And what I was trying to say, and what I believe the verse is saying, is that when we believe God, we are empowered by his grace while we're enduring in hope whatever we go through. But this is the end line that changed the message for me, because Paul ends up saying, because the love of God has been shared abroad. So here's how I would say, there are things that you may be going through that feel unloving, but because God loves you, they will work out for the better.
Praise God.
And I just feel like if we can embrace it, that's what motivated me. It's just, I want to be receive that love, because I'm a very, my personality type is I'm a very, I connect through working. So I'm a doer. And so when I do, I feel I love you because I'm doing something for you, because doing, but the reality is that what Paul's saying, just the fact that you're going through the process and you're hoping and enduring it, just know God loves you. And I want to encourage you, know that God loves you, whatever you're going through, you embrace it and hold on to that.
That's great. You know, I mean, today's podcast, we had a lot of encouragement, and I want to encourage you. Thank you for checking in. Like, subscribe to this podcast. Know this, that we at The Rock are praying for you. And we might not know your journey, might not know your perspective, but we hope and pray that you believe and receive this encouragement in this podcast, As weak as we are, God is made strong. Yeah. And as limited as you are, God will shine if you commit and trust everything to him. So thank you for checking in, Pastor Joel, Pastor Paul. Thank you, Pastor Paul, for sitting down with me. This Rod podcast is sponsored by Pastor Dan's new rewrite. It's I'm New What to Do. This is the discipleship journey. Pastor Dan, we're launching this at the church. You need to go. There's going to be a link online to download this digitally so you could start reading through this, start getting your friends involved and yourself involved, and it will change your life, okay? This will be on the link. God bless you guys. Thank you for checking in, and we'll see you next time.